pretty excited about this particular sermon this morning. Preaching Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, and I'm preaching on what it means for Christ to be head. Now, do you ever wonder about how amazing it is that the third person of the one triune God humbled himself? Just think about that. In fact, he humbled himself in such a way that he came into this world as a fertilized egg. Think about this. This is the God, the creator of the universe, to have a body grow in somebody's womb. And this is the beginnings of humbleness, or maybe a progression. But he goes through that. His body is born, and he matured into a man that he ordained this body to be sacrificed by his own creations who reject him. And his mission is in that, and it's to save people from their sins. And it required his humility, his humbleness to get us there. And although he was like a sacrificial lamb, the whole time he always had full authority as God, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form, as it says in Colossians 2:9. And now, in resurrected glory, he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for us Christians, for you, for me, this means he is our head. Now, reading Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, I'm going to get into more on this. And Paul wrote, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, the set apart ones in Christ. And because of this reason, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, the set apart people, the set apart ones in Christ, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Amen.
And now comes the key statement. Now listen to this after he says all that. Listen to this. Paul says, and God put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This statement is so amazing. It's amazing that we're getting this nugget this morning. Let's take it in. Please prepare your heart for this sermon, recognizing Christ as head. And I'm going to pray, Father, if there's anything I would say that might be wrong, please diminish that, take it away. But everything that's of you, plant it and have it grow a millionfold. And I'm even asking that this would be something that would spread among the whole expansive body of Christ.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul had found out about the Ephesian Christians' faith in Christ and their love for Christians. The thing about this is both are evidences of your salvation. So it's like a child's family traits. They reflect characteristics of the parents. Things like grace. It's a manifestation of God's grace that he has for every child that he recreated into the image of his son. So you think about that. Having the attributes of love, attributes of grace, these are evidences that you are in the body of Christ as a member of it. But more than that, it reflects the head of the body, which is Jesus. Now, when people see you, they notice what you see, but they also notice what they don't see. And if you are something like spiteful, if you act like you hate another Christian, if you do not forgive another Christian, what people see is the absence of love. And so they wonder if you're a Christian. Now, they're not judging you. What they're doing is believing God's word, and they're trying to discern whether you are what God's word defines. John recorded Jesus saying straight out, people will know you are my disciples by this, if you have love for one another. He said, love one another the way I, Jesus, love you. And the same John who recorded that, he was there, he also wrote in 1 John, love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He also said, if someone says, I love God, but hates who is supposed to be a brother or sister in Christ, then that person is a liar. The truth's not in him, he says. So Paul knew the Ephesian Christians have the love fruit of the Holy Spirit, and he says it was why he prayed for them. And Paul's big prayer request is what you and I need. And this is what I'm starting to develop in the sermon, so pay attention. That we would get a sense of being in the body of Christ in a fuller way. Do you have the strong reality sense of being in the body of Christ? Being in the body means salvation. It also means that you're in the community of saved people, and it means you are connected to Christ in a special way, representing him. You see, the world is spiritually separated from God, unsaved in deception. It's the community, it's the body then of the unsaved. And the world's relationships are according to sin and futility, ending in death. So it has governments, it has authorities, it has laws, but the people exist as the body of fallen Adam, dead in their sins. Adam is the head of that body. And what they do is they grope for a time in what 4:17 just calls walking in futility. That's what the unsaved do. And all are falling apart as they move toward the grave without hope. But God gave you the hope, as Paul says, in the surpassing greatness of his power toward you as a believer. And it's the operation of the same power, the same strength of his power that he brought about in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. In those moments, that's the same power. And now Jesus is seated up there at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. He's far above all rule, it says, and the authority and power and dominion. And it says both now and also forever. God put everything in subjection under his feet. Now think about this term. And gave him to the church as head over everything. All right, so you have the feet at one end and you have the head at the other end. And Christ is the head. And remember what Paul said about the church. It is his body, in this passage, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, you see that the body of Christ has members, and they're all called different parts of the body. But the church is his body. It's the fullness, now listen, of him who fills all in all. And so the Lord being the head means he's the head of you. And this describes your body connection with him. Being head of the body means two things. He's your boss, okay? And you're a member of his body, which means you're not separate, like an employee is from a boss. No, you're actually connected to the head of the same body, who is the boss. So think about this. This was God's plan from eternity past. But to implement it all, it first required humbleness, required that humility. And Philippians 2, 6-8 says this, although Jesus existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be held onto tightly. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. This is humbleness. Being made in the likeness of men is humbleness. And it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death, the horrible death of an execution device, the cross. Now, it's amazing that humbleness, while being equal with God, was the Lord's intentional, purposeful earthly life. And he knew it was necessary to get to make the body, the church, while being made head of it, with all things being subject to him. So Philippians 2, 6-11 continues and says this, follow this line of reasoning. For this reason also, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. This is after the humbleness. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, in God's revolutionary war to get back what was lost in the garden and actually make it better, the battle plan started with this surprising strategy of humility. And the mission was to influence the world with urgings and actions to follow him, the Messiah King. But the thing is he did it in a humble manner. Yet he did it while inherently having the power and the authority the whole time, which reflected the ultimate power that he would manifest as King of Kings, the Lord of Lords in his resurrection life. And so he lived in something that we can call the now while having a not yet aspect to it. And this is the pattern for the rest of the body, for you and me, in our earthly existence. Now think of it as your now, not yet kind of existence each day. Okay, so your citizenship is in heaven, and you are called to a heavenly patriotism, and your allegiance is to the true head. You are made to live forever in that relationship. Now, we all know that earthly government fails us. That's what we were praying about earlier. We long for a perfect government, the one that we can be proud of with everything that it does, just proud. But the world's best government always, always falls short of the perfection we long for. We want Jesus. He's always right. He never lies. His rules are pure. He loves you. Christ is the head that we want, is what we need, right? And though more fully realized in the afterlife, that is here right now in the body made up of his people. Follow what I'm saying. So you are in the now, not yet. And what God required was humbleness and pain to get to that place of glory and honor as Lord and King who rules forever. And now, because it's the now, not yet, because you are in this world but not of it, listen, this is important. Humbleness while being a member of the body of Christ is also your earthly life in the now. And so now you're reflecting the humbleness of Jesus, the humbleness that he had his whole earthly life. Now back then, earthly governments did not recognize the rule and reign of God in Jesus. Jesus was rejected by the governments of Rome and Israel. Israel did not accept him as the promised Messiah, pledged to be the king that was pledged to King David by God. You know, to one day sit on the ultimate throne as the ultimate authority forever. They did not recognize that he was fulfilling the prophecy. And they rejected Jesus as the great authority and master of the universe, the predestined King of kings and Lord of lords. They basically rejected the God-man. And in doing so, they rejected God. In Jude 1:5, it explains that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who delivered Israelites out of the land of Egypt. Think about that. Good translations leave the Greek name Jesus in the translation at 1:5 in Jude, which gives us an important truth as an insight to everything that I'm preaching. Jude said, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Now think about that. It's Jesus. Now when you go to Exodus 13 and 14, look at what it says there. It says, and it shall be when your son asks you in times to come, saying, what is this? Then you shall say to him, with a powerful hand, Yahweh brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. So did you catch it? Yahweh God delivered Israel in the ancient past. And this is what the scripture says, you shall say to your children, right? And so Jude clarifies it by identifying Jesus as Yahweh God, saying, Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt. Now, this revelation is so powerful that in the following centuries after Jude wrote this fact about Jesus, certain scribes were uncomfortable with copying down this reality, and they foolishly thought that it must be a mistake. So they tried to fix something that was never broken. So over the centuries, the name Jesus was foolishly replaced in certain copies of manuscripts with other words such as Lord or God. But the early manuscripts record, they show that it is Jesus. And this is because Jesus as God has always been above all rule and authority as master of the universe. And you might have a translation that has Lord God. You might have the translation that has Jesus. The ones that have Jesus are trying to be accurate with the manuscript. But for Jesus to rule as the God-man redemptive fulfillment, he needed to recreate people to reflect his heavenly nature. You following what I'm saying? Let me say it again. For Jesus to rule as this God-man, he is the God-man redemptive fulfillment. To rule, he needs to recreate people to reflect his heavenly nature because that's where his rule is going to exist now and forever, giving them a new image of God that Adam and Eve lost in the fall. And so in our upgrade, we are made into the image of Christ Jesus, the God-man, to be his body down here, while sitting spiritually at the right hand of the Father in him up there, as Paul actually says in the next chapter. So what you're living is a now, not yet. You have a co-identity with Christ right now, but you will get a fuller realization of it in the resurrection. So whether now or later, the pattern is Jesus. And he did humble redemptive work to get to the promise to David being completed in himself. Now Jesus, the God-man king, he's reigning higher than anything, and this includes the old covenant priestly system. There's no more rock temple. There's no more sacrifice of animals, no more old covenant law, Herodians, Pharisees, Sadducees, no more high priests that are ruling as authorities. Jesus is God who reigns and rules over his people forever. And as one of those people now, you exist as part of his church, the body. It is called his body, though, but it's much more than in a poetic way. And this is what I've been developing. This body is what he made in himself to be his people joined to him in a spiritual connection that is unique. And it says, he put, now follow these words, I'm going to keep repeating them, it's so interesting. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. Church literally means the called out and gathered. So at one level, God called out and he gathered all the members of the body from all over the world. That's what he does in making his church. And at the local community level, like right now, right here, you mingle with a group of Christians in a church fellowship. And what you're doing is you're gathering with others who have been called out to be members of the body. So in each way, you are part of the church as Christ's body. And Christ the head was given to the church as your Lord, leader, and guide, but there's more. And this often gets overlooked. It's so amazing. Notice the word fullness in verse 23. So listen again. Paul said, and he put all things in subjection under Christ Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all of us in all of us, or fills all in all. The of us is not there. But there's a way you got to understand it, because all always means all, but it always means all of what is meant. Remember that rule. It's an interpretation rule. All always means all, but it only means all of what is meant. Okay? And so this whole sermon has been building up to this point here. So do you see what you are? Do you see what all of us are together? We, all of us, though not recognized by the world for this amazing recreation of God's favor, are, as Christ's body, the fullness of him. It's what we're told by God himself. We really are this right now as we live in a humbleness way while living also in a way of power, okay? So like Christ first experienced humbleness and then glorification, all of us, you, me, all Christians, we as the fullness of him who fills all of us and all of us are humbled on earth right now because we're in a cursed world. Not yet resurrected to where we are spiritually seated at the right hand of the Father in him also right now, as Paul says. So think of the now, not yet. And so while here, the now, we exist as a humble earth-dwelling group experiencing a less-than-perfect world each day. So part of the consequence of our not-yetness, I'm going to call it, is that we get persecuted, like Jesus got persecuted. We actually get sick like Christ's body got sick. You know, he got sick in the Garden of Gethsemane. But being here now, we have the power of Christ in us. We are the fullness of him who fills all of us in all of us. And like Christ got something better later, we're going to get something better. It's our ultimate upgrade. And it's all God's plan to bring himself glory, by the way. You are blessed to partake in him blessing himself. And right now, you are in this existence. In the now, for the head's reasons. Okay? It's for the head's reasons. So listen again to what it says. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So here's the thing that we must pay attention to. And it's definitely deep. And this is meat. You have milk and then you have meat. This is meat stuff today. So think of it this way. As the body of Christ, we are his feet down here. And he is the head up there. So it's no accident that the head's up here, the feet's down here, but the head does a certain thing and the feet do a certain thing. There is revelation that Paul got here in this short statement. This is absolutely amazing. And so down here, you, me, all the us, the body, are humbly doing his work under his authority. So you look in the 1 Corinthians 12, you even see this as members of the body. And they're called members like a human body, hands, feet, so forth. And so when we're here, we evangelize people. You know, we do things like we worship him in spirit and truth. And so we're shining him. We're shining him as we do these things. And we do this humbly right now, and yet existing in dominion over all things under us as his feet of the body. So follow that statement. See, we do it all to the praise of the glory of his grace, but we do this existing in dominion over all things under us as his feet of the body. 5:6 says this. This is his glory. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And 11 through 12. We have obtained an inheritance. We already have it. Having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his determination, to the end that we who hope in Christ will be to the praise of his glory. This is the intimate connection. Now verses 13 and 14. In him, always look at Paul's words, in him. In him, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. See, yeah, it always is to the praise of his glory, but he's doing all this. So as the representative fullness of him, that's what we are. We are the representative fullness of him on earth. The body of Christ has his feet moving the body through the world, doing the things of the head. That is an amazing revelation. And what God is doing with you and with all of us is showcasing you in your humility among this cursed world while glorifying Christ and his power in you as the head. And so what we are, the church is, and you are, I am, is you are a living testimony that Christ's righteousness is appropriated to you. And because it's a now not yet existence in a certain way, things happen that are not perfect. Sometimes you sin and you make mistakes. We are imperfect right now on earth, but that only shows his glory in another way. It's shown as what? His sustaining, forgiving, empowering life in you both now and forever. So what is happening, no matter what, is that through the church, the body, God's true government is seen in operation. And no matter what, only Christ and his work and his grace and his beauty and his love gets all the glory. The church is his testimony. Amen. We are his testimony. And I've been laying out everything to get to this. This is the biggest recognition of Christ as your head. Christ was always the great head in eternity past. But through his humility of being rejected, crucified, and resurrected, and now reigning far above all rule and authority at the Father's right hand, 2:6 tells you straight out, 2:6 is where this is, you are seated with him there in the heavenly places. You are set apart and you're gathered with all the others to be his body. And so now, this is the now, all of us, you too, are the fullness of him in our culture, as he fills all of us in all of us. It is a state of being. And God made you this way to be his representative of Christ on earth. He also empowers you to manifest his will and way. And your existence is meant to express the glory and splendor of Christ through his rule and his reign over his body. We always talk about works for salvation. We as Christians do not believe in works for salvation. We believe in God's work for salvation, right? But after salvation, when we work, we don't need to be taking any credit for that either. Because our existence is expressing the glory and splendor of Christ in his rule and reign and his empowerment, the blood that's pumping into the body. And so the world does not have this relationship, but the world sees this relationship in us, in you. And your relationship with the head brings attention to Christ as God's grace and God's hope. We're like a living evangelism. And you know what evangelism does? It's a sweet aroma to those being saved. It's a foul stench to those being pushed away. But this is our main purpose with God giving Christ to us as our head. And so God showcases you and me, all of us, as those who trust him to do things like forgive us of our sins when we fail. So what do you do? Showcase yourself to others as that, as forgiven in Christ. God showcases us as those who have this life that's his life to obey him in truth. So showcase yourself as someone who obeys the truth by his power. We are the feet. And this is the walk being showcased to the world. So showcase yourself as someone who seeks God's truth, learns it, lives it. And as his feet, you always have that perfect head. The government that everyone else says that they want, we have it. So embrace your calling to be the Lord's shining display for all to see of someone who's serving the perfect king, the perfect real government that's always right. Demonstrate it, you know, like to your neighbors or your coworkers, your friends, your family, that you are the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul is saying this is a state that you have right now. You don't have to attain it. You don't lose it. You're always the fullness of him who fills all of us in all of us. So show that you believe his word and the world sees his perfect rule and reign in your life. You know, whether it's a business or school, some kind of a sport, people should know that you are a Christian. Just start with that. You know, the world's watching you to see if you're honest, that you don't cheat. Stay honest. And what you're doing is you're demonstrating the fullness of him, because that's what he is. He's fully honest. They're looking to see if you're fair, that you have integrity. He fills you, and he's the head of the body. So they should experience integrity from your life. They should see you standing against sexual immorality, starting with staying moral yourself. But remember that you're a demonstration of God's grace through the head. And again, we don't do everything perfectly. So when you sin, know that you're forgiven in him. And show the head's grace then by being forgiving with others. We're the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we manifest the same thing. We are on the earth representing Christ. So you know that you're not perfect. He is, right? So represent Jesus and urge them to be godly in him, but also be forgiving with his forgiveness when they sin and they offend and they fail. That's what we need to be doing. And when you have problems with your spouse, demonstrate that you're the fullness of Christ. Some of these biblical truths are the hardest tangible thing for married people and families to take hold of, as if, wow, I learned this amazing truth from God's Holy Spirit today, but in my family, I don't need to apply it. No, that's where you need to apply it. Amen. You need to apply it everywhere. And what do you do there? Demonstrate you're the fullness of Christ. Again, we're not perfect. It's got to be a repentance thing. Repentance means change your mind. Turn your thought back to the truth, okay? And you might have to do it all day long, every single minute. Some people probably get dizzy from changing their repenting all the time, right? Either way, cut through the dizziness and keep on going, because you're expressing the love of Christ to your spouse as Christ expresses his grace for you as your head. That's what you're doing. So husbands, treat your wife with love, grace, and patience as a weaker vessel, the scripture says, as Christ Jesus treats the church, his body. He nurtures his body. Wives, when you submit to your husband, doing so as unto the Lord, as we're going to see more later in Ephesians, the head, you demonstrate that you're the fullness of Christ. You're manifesting him like he is walking. You see? It's every single area of your life. So again, it says this: the Lord is the head of the body of Christ, and God put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to the church as head over all things, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. It's everything. Evangelize by representing him to lead others to him. Be like a museum piece that's demonstrating the good news. Be good news as you share the good news. Live your salvation like it's not about you. You got that? But it's about the head who fills you. Amen. And I know it's deep. I know it's hard to fathom. But you are the member of his fullness. And the unsaved don't know Christ is far above all rule and authority. But they know what it looks like when you show Christ as the ruler and the authority. Okay? So examine yourself. What are you known for? Is it your fullness in Christ? Are you consumed with living out the now of what you will be later? This is the heavenly vision. Or are you known for being consumed with yourself? Look to your head. This is my urging. Exalt him in the body, looking to the not yet, when you will be exalted in your own resurrection inheritance of perfection. Amen?
Amen.